Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, BobbyCast today is with Caroline Hobby, who I'm a big fan of. I think you're going to like this conversation a lot. She does a great podcast called Get Real, but it just gets really... You can see as we talked, because she just started hitting me with stuff and questions, and like, she's just great. And I hope you guys like her podcast if you want to go check it out. But I want you to listen to this. And she came by. We're actually meeting about some stuff, and I was like, let's hop on a mic. And I found that it was... She was extremely vulnerable, very generous, but then that's just... how she is. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
I agree.
And we finished this because we were going to do it as part of a podcast on the BobbyCast, but we were like, dang, this is a real good conversation. Not even so much an interview. We're just going to put it up for everybody to hear.
Yeah, her ability to open up so quickly is pretty amazing.
Yeah, she opens up so quickly, which then makes you want to open up as well.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, well, if she's going that far, I should go that far too, because she has kind of showed me the rules of the game, and yeah. I want to play along. So check it out. It's Caroline Hobby. She's sitting right here next to me. Where she was when we did this interview. And if you like it, go check out our podcast. And if not, I hope you like this. All right, thank you guys. So Caroline Hobby is here. She has Get Real with Caroline Hobby. How do you feel like the podcast is going?
I thought it's going great.
You always find that it goes the best for me if I find fulfillment from it. Mm-hmm. Like when I bring people in, like we had Chris Tomlin in recently. I didn't know Chris at all. Didn't know him from a bag of beans. And he came in and but halfway through, I was like, dang, I didn't realize we're halfway through. Like, I was enjoying it so much. Like, I was getting something from it. Mm-hmm. And I always find that I get the most from things if I am just dedicated, attentive, and care. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like, in return, the podcast gets better, too. Right. Are you feeling that with your guests, where sometimes they come on and you're like, oh, man, this is exactly what I needed?
Yeah, I do. I feel like my podcast, if you look at my... the whole life of it, starting from, I think I started it in 2016. If you look at like, and I haven't listened back to it because I think I'm a little nervous and I actually never listen back to my interviews. Do you listen back to yours?
No.
I don't either. Why is that?
I think it's the same. I think it's a little different. I've been doing it so long that I kind of know.
Yeah.
And I've done it repetition so many times. I know when I'm off.
Yeah, you can feel it.
And I know exactly, if Mike and I do an hour and 15 minutes, I'll be like, after it's over and they leave, I'll be like, hey, minute 12, I didn't like. And I can kind of give Mike live notes, and mm-hmm. Mike does it too. He takes notes. We've been doing this together for a long time. So I don't really need to listen. I can kind of live check. But every once in a while I do, and I cringe like crazy. Ooh. I hate me. I mean.
I know. But you're
that,
really
that
funny.
That version. That,
you're really hysterical. Do you enjoy your humor when you hear it back? Like, can you laugh at your humor?
No.
Like, your joke today was really funny.
I'm over me.
Yeah.
And I have a...
I get that. I feel that way. I'm over me too.
And I have a career that's me, right? Like, it's my brand that I have to talk about what I think, how I feel, things in my life. I'm so over me.
People really care about your advice. Like, people... And you give really good advice. That's what I was actually noticing too. When people call in for advice, like, your advice is good and you're not scared to, like, say it. You're not worried about cancel culture, are you? Because you don't ever cancel yourself when you say it, but you say the real thing.
It's a fine line.
It is.
I've been really close a couple times.
You're really good at it.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're really good at making people feel good, which
no,
I think
I've noticed
is why
that.
Your podcast but works so well.
But I've noticed that about you in particular because like you actually push a lot of lines in quote unquote cancel culture, but you're never coming at it from like a bad place. You always have a redemption hook, funny part.
You hope. You hope. I mean, that's the goal. But I feel like I don't listen to myself because I don't like how I talk. Mm. I don't like how I sound.
Yeah.
I think I like what I stand for, but I don't like anything about how
for?
I hear. You know, and Chris Tomlin and I were talking about this because he's had massive success in the Christian world. And I'm like, it's like him and Garth and Justin Timberlake, and he sells out multiple nights at the Bridgestone. And I'm like, how do you deal with massive success? Because now you have money, Chris Tomlin. And people look at you and you're like, well, you're supposed to go without. You're Christian. And you should have a nice car. You have worked hard to deserve a nice car, but people have to be like busting your chops if they say, oh, well, look at all Chris Tomlin. He's singing songs, but he's got not. And I was like, I came from a place where my whole career has been built on hopefully being funny, but hopefully understanding what it's like to come from a place that doesn't have a lot of stuff given to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't grow up with the greatest upbringing, and I've always been the person that stands up for that person. But now I still try to be, and I know what that's like, but it's a bit difficult now because I don't want to lie and act like I don't have too much money now.
But
I want to be honest.
But why don't you can just be the goal because.
Yes. And I try to do that. And my wife is very good about that. She goes, just don't lie.
But here's the thing.
As long as you're being honest, who cares?
But, and also like, you need to think about it this way because you are telling people here, you're telling them your story. I came from humble beginnings. I had a rough time with like my dad and all that situation. You've been great about being so
honest.
Work
ethic. I really want it to be about work ethic, but a lot of that comes
from. But you still have your
yes.
work ethic. And yes. So what if you didn't have the payoff to show all these people who have followed you religiously, who are inspired by you, who you build up?
I hear you.
But
I
so do. Like you need to have the payoff because
I
then
you
actually
you.
Are saying the dream
wanna,
can happen.
You should, I agree. I think I'm a version of one version of the American dream.
And even like you getting married to Caitlin, like you set your, like you yeah, let
she's way
your,
hotter than me and other nerds out there.
But not just that. Like she's a good person.
Not just that. Mike, did you hear that?
I did
not
hear
just that.
That.
Yeah, she's awesome, right?
She's smart and she is wise. And so it's like you let yourself, you
yes,
let
growth.
Yourself.
Massive growth there too.
Have it all. And you came from such a different place. So I think that that is very inspiring and why people love to follow you.
I get crushed for both. I get crushed if I'm like...
Well, that means people are thinking about you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yes, but that's...
Do you like having people think about you?
Yeah, I have to. It's my job.
But does it bother you that all that energy's on you?
No, the energy doesn't bother me, but...
It doesn't?
No, every once in a while, it'll be so personal and so wrong
mm-hmm.
where someone's like, well, I know this, and it's just factually inaccurate.
Right.
Like a lot of the Caitlin stuff, there were just lies. This right. is not true. Mm-hmm. That bothers me a bit. And I was never bothered by anything until she came along. Because I would just be like, screw you guys. Like, I got a path. I'm mm-hmm. crushing this path. Mm-hmm. Kick rocks. You don't like it. Mm-hmm. Who cares? It's made it different with her.
Right. And that's good that you respect that for her.
Well, I mean, look at you and your husband. You guys are both public figures. And you both have to deal with front-facing careers where he's a lead singer of a band. Here you are doing a podcast. You've been on TV.
And we've both had to, like, ride the wave. Like, we've had really big highs and really big lows. And, like, that's been... It's great. You know?
Is there a time where it gets awkward because he's killing it and you're not, or you're killing it and he's not, and you don't want to be like, oh, because you know it's not going great for one of them?
Here's the thing I know about Michael and I know about myself. And I know this now because I am addicted to self-help and I have done so much self-help. And Michael's probably like, oh my God, I'll come in there he's in his office. I'll like come in there and I'll sit down and I'll be like, and then I just like dive into everything emotional, like make him talk about all of his feelings. We basically have just constant therapy sessions. He's exhausted with me. Poor guy.
With a therapist or with each other?
Me as a therapist.
You're his therapist.
Yes, I make him share everything in his life.
That's funny. Okay.
Uh-huh. It's exhausting for him. He's like, half the time he's like, can we just have fun today? Do we have to have it be so serious? I'm like, but we've got to understand what's going on in our soul.
Is this new for you to be like that?
So I have been on a quest where I have always wanted to make people happy. Like I have been like the best energy matcher in the world. Like
where does that come from? As a kid, were you a pleaser?
People pleaser.
Why were you the youngest? Were you of kids? Were you, where does that fall?
I think I just, you know, my dad, I have a no nonsense father who is amazing. And I like the greatest, like he's really like I hope you agree with this. He did your teeth.
Mm-hmm. I know your dad's great.
He's an incredible dentist.
I don't know how he is emotionally sharing. And maybe
he is the kind of person that's like, I'm going to be the best in the world. And I know what it takes to be great. I'm going to study with the best people. I'm going to do all the work. I am no excuses. Like, literally, there is a way. I will find it. And I'm not going to sit around and get sad about life because I'm going to find a way. Which is awesome. And it's so inspiring. And it's so like, okay, I never had a moment to like let myself get depressed because like I just didn't grow up with that option. I mean, although I got depressed a lot. But like, anyway, it's just like, you know, you always had to figure out the way. And so I think that I am such an emotional person and so deeply sensitive. And like, I care so much about everybody being happy and I really cared about my dad being happy, my mom being happy, and we were moving at this fast pace all the time. And because my dad just constantly bettering himself, like always doing the next best thing to like get to the next level, because he just has a mind for greatness, which I love. But I think that I just like didn't like deal with a lot of my feelings growing up, you know, and I was like already kind of insecure and emotional. And so I kind of figured out like what worked well and like where I could get things going positively for me. And so I just was always really happy and cheerful unless I got drunk and tried to make out someone and yelled at them, which there are several people who would not say I'm cool.
Were getting happy almost as a tool to get people to like you.
Yeah.
It wasn't that you were genuinely happy. It was that if you presented happiness, people were drawn to that.
Yeah.
They liked you and that was the goal.
And I could make them happy because I could tell them things that made them happy about themselves.
Were you a sad clown as an adult?
Was I a sad like clown?
Mean on the outside, you're a clown. Everybody's like, look at the clown. Oh, he must be so happy. But inside, you're like, I know I look happy and feel happy, but I'm really not.
Yes, I got to. But then it grew. Then it grew so much that like I was energy matching with the whole world. I would literally have like nervous breakdowns because I would feel all of the pain and suffering that people were feeling.
Like the news, if you watch.
Oh, the news. And like children, like, oh God, children suffering. Like I will just burst into tears. Like I can't handle it. Like I just... innocence not being valued and like protected like crushes me. And so, but then I would just feel all these feelings and I would just hold them.
Like, how does Michael do with feelings? Because my wife's like an empath.
Me too. And it's hard to be around people.
And I am not.
Because you feel everything.
Like I don't have, I have serious situational empathy. I don't have emotional empathy. Mm-hmm. Because I go, no time for emotion. We got to make crap happen.
Yeah.
And so I have situational, like I know what it's like. I've been there. Let me help you. But if you're just sad, I'm like, let's figure out how to not be sad.
That's good.
But we're just so different. Are you and Michael the same or different? Is he an empath?
Well, Michael he is very, 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 he's just so non-judgmental of people. Like Michael had so much stuff that he went through in his childhood and he's like interacted with all different types of people, like all levels of life. And like, he just knows he's had deaths at an early age. He's lived through big traumas and this is all his story to share. But like, he just knows that life is like really, really, really precious and that it can like literally go away from you in a day. Or in a second, and like anything can happen to anyone at any time. And so he lives with this tension of really like letting go and enjoying life and following his dreams, but then like not being obsessed with the fact that like people can disappear.
It's a pretty good life education. And the hard thing about an education is you have to put in the work to get it, right? Regardless of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your specific life education, all the crap that you've had to go through to gather your tools.
Mm-hmm.
Same with me, same with anybody listening to this, right? Mm-hmm. We have our different versions of education, went to different colleges of life. And so, but I think that's what makes your podcast so good is that you genuinely seem to care because you genuinely care because you are so
empathic. I really want people to be happy. Like, and not just like, oh, I want you to have a car and have a house and like have $1 million happy. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, I really, and I think because I've wanted this for myself for so long, this has been like my big journey was to like understand my value and to understand like my worth and to understand what I am contributing and how I can like better the world and not feel overwhelmed by it and saddened by it. Because like, I do have a strong work ethic, but that was like part of me like being a chameleon in the days. Like it all was trying to play the roles that I thought I needed to play. And that's why, like, everyone listening to my podcast knows I've talked about my freaking hair for a year. But that's why I, like, cut my hair off and dyed it brown. And that sounds crazy, but, like, I was so attached to long blonde hair that, like, if I don't have long blonde hair, if I don't present myself as this bubbly, happy, beautiful, easygoing person that makes everyone feel good, then no one, then I have no value. So I need to, like, play this role.
Wow. Uh-huh. So that's why the change.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
So I did it one day. I literally was like,
that is some self-awareness.
It was like, I'm someone who has to do very dramatically. Like, I can't, like, tiptoe into stuff. Like, when I go into stuff, I'm like a freaking tidal wave. And so that's why, like, Michael and I eloped. Like, we didn't have a wedding, nothing. Like, if I'm going to make a big decision in my life, it's going to be like on a 5-second radius turn. Like, I'm going to make it so fast, which is crazy. But, like, I just, like, I get myself so ready for the change. Like, I feel so, like, done with where I am that I can't stand it for one more second. And then the opportunity comes for the big change, and, like, I already know what I want and I'm aligned with it, and I just make it and I just go for freaking crazy. Like, it's nuts. So I did that with my hair. I was like, I was in this place where I was like, I have to detach from this avatar that I've built. Like, I don't know what I am anymore. And I became a mom. And then, like, when I became a mom, I was so...
Avatar, interesting. You're right. That's what that is.
Yeah. I'd built this person and she'd worked really well for me and she's a good person and, like, I'm in there and that is me. But, like, I'm also like, but, like, who am I when I'm not trying to energy match every single person? Like, and this is my empath self too. I will walk into a room and I will immediately feel what everybody needs. Like, I know what they need. I know what their story. Like, if I get a chance to talk to you, I will hear your story. I will feel your story. I will be able to completely tell you your whole life story and feel all of your pain within, like, 20 minutes of talking to you.
And I think that's what makes the podcast work.
But I've been stuck in this, like, sad spot with it for a long time because I get so hooked on people's sadness because it, like, kills me that it happened.
I'm not going to compare it to this exactly, so I don't want people to get their butt hurt over this. But I have friends who were and are CPS workers or school teachers or police officers, and all are different, but all have to go through every day exhausting emotional elements.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a toll on all of them. And I'm not comparing you to them
in
that
not.
Way, but you are doing something extremely emotional consistently with people. And if you're someone who sits in it and it's hard for you to get up out of it, mm-hmm. that can be taxing.
I just can't get...
It's your strength and it's also your weakness at the same time.
I can't get over that it happened. Like, mm-hmm. that's what kills me. Like, I can't get over... And I'll cry talking about it, like... I can't get over it. Like, the FedEx truck thing, like, that, I had to cry about that for a day. Like, I just can't get over the sadness in the world. It kills me.
What's the FedEx truck thing?
Oh, like a FedEx guy. Like,
oh, they choked the girl?
Like, took that girl, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Oh, but then I feel so sad because I feel bad for the guy because I'm like, what happened to you? Like, where were you, like, not loved? And, like, and I just, like, I feel for the whole world so much. Like, it breaks my heart every day. And so that's why I just want people to truly... feel loved.
That's a tool. Like,
but I really do. Like, I really want people to feel loved.
You have an excellent tool that can help a lot of people, but the problem with having a really great tool,
it can take you down.
Is it that tool? Yeah, at the same time.
And that's what's happened. Like, I've reached a breaking point with it. Like, that's why I hired a life coach this year. Like, I freaking hired a life coach. Like, what in the F? Like, I hired a life coach because I'm like, I have got to break these freaking, like, blocks that I have. Like, I cannot be effective in the world if everything kills me. Like, that's not... happy. Like, and I have this daughter to raise, and, like, I love her so much, and, like, I'm just feeling so sad all the time thinking about anything that could happen to her, and it's, like, wrecking my life. And I'm like, this is not joy, this is not happy, this is not helping anyone. All I'm doing is, like, noticing all the pain in the world and feeling so awful that it happened, but I'm just holding that spot of sadness. And it started to, like, overtake me, like, when COVID happened and then I became a mom and all that. Like, I literally was, like, losing grip on, like, myself. So I got on an antidepressant for a year, which actually really helped. I never had done that before. And I was like, I gotta, like, mute myself for a while. And that was great. And I was able to, like, really, like, try to just, like, detach and, like, get some... this is why I'm, like, such an advocate for mental health. Because, like, the stuff that we carry, all of us carry such different stuff, but it takes up bandwidth in your brain and it blocks you from really being able to serve your highest good. Like, it's not, I'm not serving anyone by being sad for them. Like, what's serving them is, like, what you do is take action and, like, say, okay, I see this. I'm not going to sit around and be sad about it forever. I'm going to like do some stuff. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to like get it
going. I hear you, but I'm telling you, it's like two different. We have sharpened our tools to the point where sometimes it cuts off our own hands. Uh-huh. Because you're right. I don't have any emotion.
I have all the emotion.
Yeah, that's right. And because I am going, okay, I know that sucks. No, it sucks for them, but for me, so let's go from A to B and let's fix it and let's move to the next thing. Because I...
But I'm like, it can't be fixed because it was broken. Right. And then I hate that it was broken and I feel so sad that it was broken ever to begin with. But now what I have to realize is, and I know this, but like, I know that this life is fleeting. I truly believe that like, we are going to have lots more of experiences like in other realms and forms. But like, I just think that we come to this life to learn a specific lesson. I really do. And sometimes the lessons suck. And I really believe that. And I think that like all of it is really, really a part of the bigger picture so you can become a truly fulfilled human being who had this life experience that it's not just for this life. It's for the bigger picture of your soul. It's like you have to learn the lesson that you came here for. And sometimes it's not good. And but then you have to know that. Like, because like what if you didn't go through something awful that broke your heart that you thought you could never get over, but then you actually find forgiveness in your heart. Like the feeling of being able to forgive someone is a huge blessing. And you would have never known what that true forgiveness feels like if you hadn't been so betrayed. So it's
well, that's the education, right?
Yeah.
We had to go to school. We had to get our education in that. So then we get better at it.
Yeah.
But I think this is why your podcast is so good and is doing so well is because you're comfortable to be with. Anybody talking to you feels like they're cared about. You're genuinely curious, and you're extremely vulnerable.
Yeah.
And those are...
It makes for a freaking wreck of a human.
It does, but it makes for...
That's why I'm in constant therapy.
It makes for somebody that people trust and enjoy experiencing with. I'm not even going to say listen to. I'm going to say enjoy experiencing with because it is.
I care for people. I really do. I can say that from the bottom of my heart. Like, even if I don't prefer you as a human, like... Even if you're not like my style and like we don't like vibe.
That's funny, my style. Yeah, so.
But even if we don't vibe, I still care for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like and not in the sense like sometimes I think people are complete assholes and like do terrible things. But I'm like, I can backtrack enough to like get to the beginning of their story to understand how this happened.
I do that too a lot.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not really mad at you. You're just acting out in a way that is due to all these other feelings. And it's totally normal. And we don't all need to sit around and hate someone for doing something in a reaction to how they feel. Like, it's just, we're humans. We all are trying to like heal our souls, whether we know it or not. And it comes out in a million different ways. And so, yeah, I genuinely think if everyone could like see, feel their true, like just how important they are and like know that and really know that no matter what happens, we get so caught up in circumstances that have happened to us. Like we really think that we are our circumstances and we forget that that's just not the truth. Like our circumstances are happening to us to fulfill our life's mission, our soul's mission. And so it's like if we can like reverse our minds and be like, okay, this is happening to me because it's literally taking me to a higher level. But it's just learning that and doing all the work to get there is exhausting.
You have a real gift. I think sometimes...
I ramble.
No, well, that too, but I do too. But I think you have a gift and I think sometimes... The gifts that we're given, we live with them, so we don't recognize them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sitting in the same room all the time, it's just the same old room, regardless of how many gold-plated trinkets there are. You have a real gift. I think that's why people are drawn to you. I think your education is not only you growing up, where you grew up with who you grew up with, but also the adventures that you've been on. And I don't even just mean Amazing Race. I mean your life adventures.
Mm-hmm. It's been a constant adventure. I have literally no idea where we're going next.
I mean,
ever.
From Stealing Angels.
Yeah.
Amazing Race.
Yep.
Growing up in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, you have such an education and you have such empathy and respect for human that I think that's why people are drawn to you. So don't, I know you want to not live in it all the time. But you don't want to run from it because you have something that a lot of people don't have. And you're really great at sharing that with people.
Thanks.
But your biggest strength can also, if you're not careful and you're getting into this land now, it can also be your biggest weakness. Mine is, I don't stop. And yeah, I just go. I focus and I just go. Don't stop. I don't feel like I can.
How do you not get so tired?
I do.
But how do you?
But you keep going. But it's, I shouldn't do this.
Where's the final goal for you?
I don't, there's no, there's not one.
Do you just, but do you just love the doing of it all? But you just love the doing of it?
No, I do it out of fear.
What's the fear?
That I'm going to end up like I started.
But you already are so far past that.
Okay. Now you're my wife. That's what she says. That's what she says. She goes, hey, you don't have to kill yourself. Why are you, you're working 14 hours today, 16 hours? You're working on something else? She goes, if you really want to do that and it's creatively, she goes, then do it. But you're fine. You've worked yourself out of the hole. But I, that's always, just like you, that's always going to be a part of who I am, even if I want to change it a little bit. So what, I'm trying to modify it slightly.
What do you, what is the part that you don't want to go back to?
I don't want to go back to knowing if I'm going to be able to eat dinner or afford shoes.
But you know you always are excellent interviewer and there always will be a job for you.
Me knowing and me knowing are two different things.
So you really believe.
No, my brain doesn't believe it. My brain believes I could retire right now and be great the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But like my...
Have you gone back? This doesn't sound so annoying.
My collection of innards is like, you, just like that, you could be right back there having to move trailers or move apartments constantly because you can't afford to stay in it for another month and not knowing if you're going to get a meal or if you're ever going to see your, if your mom's going to be home this week, or that part is still there. And I know with my brain, that's not happening again. But it's like my composition is perpetually scared of that.
Have you gone back and done like some work on like your inner child?
Yeah. I've had some great therapists. We've done that. I went to OnSite, mm-hmm. did that by myself. Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot. And I always come away from that going like, dang, again, I'm not a big fan of me because I'm always with me and mm-hmm. I have to be somebody who's so like, you have to buy into me because that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people are like, you know, all he does is talk about himself. Trust me, I say that too. Like, God dang, man, can I just not?
But you, here's the thing. Listen, I hired a life coach and I actually was blown away by this whole life coach like world because I'm like, whoa, people are charging a
you can say whatever you want.
Shit ton of money to literally talk to people and tell them good advice. Like good advice. Like, and that's the thing that's like interesting to me about a life coach, because I think that you are actually like a life coach for a lot of people.
But I don't believe in that my advice is right. I believe that I have a perspective based on the life that I've lived. I don't like advice generally, but because it's everybody else's education to the point where they're now spitting out what they know, how it affects you, which you didn't live the same life. There are elements of it I like from mm-hmm. people. I'm not a big advice guy.
I believe you. And I agree with you on all that. But like what I'm trying to say though is, okay, so like I have this friend who was actually in my life coach class, and she and her husband are like high school sweethearts. I'm gonna make this fast. Her name is Ashley Renard. She has a book called Swing. Y'all check it out. But like she, here's what it is. It's an interesting story, honestly. So she and her husband were like high school sweethearts and they fell in love and they had like a great marriage and everything was like hunky dory. They have three kids and, you know, great, perfect on paper. So they, I guess, he wasn't really happy, to be honest.
Oh, it really is literally about swing. Oh, yeah, I was just making a joke. Okay,
no,
go ahead.
He wasn't really happy. And so he kind of like got a little flirty going on. I don't know what exactly happened, but this is all in the book. This is what I'm telling you. So then he had this idea that they should try to be swingers. And she is just crazy enough. And she's like a professional ice skating coach. And she's been a coach and she loves to win and she loves hard things. And so she's like, okay, let's do it. So they got into swinging and they ended up like, she ended up falling in love and then almost like blowing up the marriage, all this stuff. But like what all of that came down to is she has now this understanding of marriage that like an understanding of the spectrum from the beginning to the end that like most people could never understand. And then they came out of it and now they're stronger than ever. And now she coaches people on how to keep monogamy hot. So it's like she went through all of this to really get this like fine-tuned expertise that she could never have gotten.
It's a hard education.
Unless she walked through it and considered blowing up her whole life. Mm-hmm. And so that's why like you are, and that's the same thing with like my life coach. That's what I'm realizing. People don't pay people for like advice. Really, they want to hear them because they trust your story. Like you have,
it's perspective.
But you have
through
this
experience.
Story, and that's why it's okay for you to be winning right now because you have this story that like people are saying like, oh my God, like I can trust him, I can like believe in him, and I can see that he like has gotten to the other side. And you share how you got to the other side. It's not like you're hoarding this information. You're telling people what you're doing, how to do it, how to have your mindset. You're writing books. You're going, I mean, you're sharing this information with people. So like, you're not being a selfish steward of it. Like, you are really being generous with like your information. And I think that that's why people come to you, and you should be proud of that and embrace that. And like, honestly, like, coaches pay a shit ton of money to give information like you, and you just give it away. I know you make money in other ways.
Yeah, the company pays they pay a fine sum to me for this.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I want to say.
And I ramble again. I'm sorry. I get like off track.
I'm rambling. It's good. I enjoy spending time with you, and I want our listeners to do the same. So I'm going to encourage you guys to check out Get Real with Caroline Hobby. New episodes every Monday. There are many episodes on how-tos on Thursdays. Her recent episodes, Michael Chandler, the UFC fighter.
Oh, that is a good one. He says how to lose like a winner, because he just lost like a huge fight, a UFC fight at Madison Square Garden. And he has like the most incredible mindset ever. And he was talking about how to actually lose when you are a winner. It's great. And there's so much more to it too.
We're talking about there, Ashley Renard.
The
live podcast with Cassie Kelly and Kaylee Dickerson. And so I encourage you to check out our podcast. I think if you listen to this, you're probably like, I need to go check out that podcast. It's very powerful. Don't lose it.
I do ramble.
Don't run from it. No, stop saying rambling.
But people say that. They're like, sometimes she like goes off track.
You do.
And I do.
But it's okay. But that's who you are.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of things communicatively that's annoying too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a real strength. Don't run from it. But you got to separate yourself from it at times.
That's why I just learned about boundaries.
I say that to me too. I'm talking to both of us.
Have you like learned about boundaries? Because I just actually am understanding what they are.
Yes. As in, I've been taught.
Like, I'm learning how to apply them.
How to use them, because my wife is amazing.
She is.
And she creates boundaries for her. And not to me, but she has boundaries in every way. They're so healthy. And I'm like, dang, like she's nailed that.
Mm-hmm.
She has boundaries about, because she doesn't want to be public, but she also
knows that she is
on
some level.
And but she has boundaries there in that part too. And we don't talk about what she does now because people tracked her down at another job. And so it's a boundary. We don't, and when it's her story, she'll be ready to, but yes. And then personal ones, I have created them, and I struggle at times, but they do exist now, and I'm learning.
Yeah, me too. I used to share everything with everyone, and I still do. I have to like stop myself.
Same.
Like, you, and then people like look at me after I like vomit on them, and they're like, I'm like, was that what? Because that felt normal.
At Caro Hobby, Get Real with Caroline Hobby. Big things. Your podcast is killing it. You are, because of Get Real with Caroline Hobby, you're in the 1% of all podcasts just in general. We have over almost 8 million downloads. Like, the podcast is doing awesome. And Caroline comes in and goes, how did anybody listen this last month? And I'm like, yes. Here's the hundreds of thousands from this part. So I hope you guys check it out. And it's just great. Keep doing it. We're going to find a way to make you bigger and better.
Hey, I thank you.
Because we can
always
get bigger and better.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always mean bigger and better in every traditional sense that we're taught.
Or fulfillment. Yeah. My goal for
peace
and fulfillment. Like, I literally want to spend every bit of my time doing things that bring me fulfillment and peace. And better. And then share that. Because that's what I hope for everyone.
And I want to find things I like that don't have sugar. Because I love sugar so
I
much.
I am addicted to sugar.
Me too. God dang.
I drink a Dr. Pepper every day.
I just need to find things that
What's your go-to sugar?
All cookies,
like if
cakes,
you, okay, you're going crazy right now. Like, you're driving in your car. Mm-hmm. You have to get sugar. What are you getting?
I'll stop and get a little Debbie Zebra cake at the gas station.
Ooh, that's your choice?
I grew up on them. So
Debbie Zebra cake?
It makes me feel comfortable like I'm back home.
They're
and it's
too
a lot of
fluffy.
Sugar.
There's not enough icing. It's too fluffy.
I didn't
fluffy.
Ask you to judge. You asked me a question, then you judge me on my answer that I gave you because you asked me.
What about a Kit Kat?
I love Kit Kats.
I love a Kit Kat.
But that's a little, that's like age 24 or 5 for me when I could.
Oh, what's comfort? Okay, so you're comforting your little boy.
Yeah.
Little Bobby.
Yeah.
Oh, you're taking care of him.
Yeah, he needs zebra cakes.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right, Caroline Hobby. Get real with Caroline Hobby. Mike, anything you want to say?
This is my favorite kind of conversation. I just love this.
Oh,
is
we
why
can do
it,
we can do it for
chat,
an hour.
Chat.
I have a doctor's appointment. We can do it for an hour.
What are you doing?
General.
Oh.
All this.
I have high cholesterol. I just found out. From eating all the
easy
sugar.
Easy on the Crisco. You know what I mean? You just go hand it.
No, it's the freaking chess pie. That's my go-to.
That's really good. Hey, I see Abby in there. We asked her not to leave for a second. I need to ask her something.
Yeah.
Okay, look, here's why I got to go to the doctor. I do a lot of these union or projects that I try to do. They're like, do you have your physical? So I got to do it all the time.
You should know you're in great shape and health.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
There's been issues. But yeah, I work hard.
Okay, good.
We go to a town, you know?
Oh, good job.
All right, get real with Caroline Hobby. You're the best. You're A+. Love it.
Appreciate you.
Mike, that's it.
Hey, yep. I'm all happy to be in your company.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro,
esa soy yo,
play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.